Hello, welcome to Climate Emergency Manchester, or CEM for short. I'm Simon Jeremy.
And I'm Chloe Jeffries.
And I'm Adam Pearce.
We've spent the last 2 years holding Manchester City Council to account for its progress and lack of progress on the climate crisis. We're activists, but not the glue yourself to the road kind. This is our new podcast. Each month, we'll get together with members of our team scrutiny to do a roundup of Council Scrutiny Week. We'll be reviewing their plans and policies and comparing them against Manchester's rapidly disappearing carbon budget. If you haven't already, check out our mini explainer podcast. Each one takes just a few minutes to explain how council scrutiny works, introducing carbon budgets and some of the key players in this game that is most definitely not a game. Today is the 26th of May 2022, and it's the end of scrutiny week. 6 meetings covering different areas of importance to the council and all streamed on the web. So Chloe, Adam, before we get to your highlights, who wants to explain why today's environment and climate change meeting took only 9 minutes?
I'll begin as I watched it. So on one level, there's a straightforward answer, which is that the first scrutiny committee of the new municipal year, so that's the first scrutiny committee after the local elections, is predominantly given over to setting the scrutiny's work plan, so drawing up a long list of topics that it will look at over the next year. However, that discussion about what topics the scrutiny committee should address takes place behind closed doors. So even though that session might go on for longer, what we see as members of the public is, in some cases, 9 or 10 minutes, whereas usually we would see the whole meeting, which lasts for often as long as 2 hours. It's quite a typical length of time. So you might think 9 minutes, 10 minutes, easy month as team scrutiny, happy days. Remember that there weren't any discussions during the PERDA when local elections were on. We also miss a month in August. So there are long gaps in the year when, for kind of reasons that can just be explained away through procedures, things drop, things slip by, things don't get scrutinised.
So the last really detailed scrutiny was March?
March, yeah.
And we get a little bit in midsummer, and then the next one's really September.
Yes, and In March, for those who aren't familiar with the council year, I'd say even that isn't quite a sort of normal scrutiny committee, because a lot of that is given over towards agreeing the budget, which happens in March each year. So you have yet another meeting where, sure, important decisions get sort of taken or get approved, but lots of stuff doesn't get scrutinised, doesn't get looked into.
Out of interest, do we know any other councils that do their work planning in public? Or is this pretty much the routine way of doing it that we know of?
That we know of, this is the routine way, and I'm sure that's the reason that would be given. But we're told again and again, this is a city and the council that, cliche alert, likes to do things differently. And on top of that, we have a new leader who is, makes public pronouncements about wanting to be more open and collaborative. And this could just be one way that it could be opened up a bit more than it currently is.
Yeah, and to counter that, the argument is that if it was more public, they couldn't have more open and frank conversations about what should or shouldn't be on the scrutiny agenda for the year. But that also gives the public a disadvantage, because we have no idea when things might come up, which means we can't prepare as much for what might come through the scrutiny agenda throughout the year.
It feels like there's some sort of middle way. where it can be opened up a little bit more publicly and actively canvass public opinion for what they should be considering rather than doing it all behind closed doors.
Exactly. And another pushback you might hear, and we have heard when we've asked if this work setting, clam setting process can be opened up again, is that there's already a sort of channel of communication because councillors listen to their ward members, and in these meetings they're feeding back their concerns. Sure, I guess that is an ongoing process. It's probably more true of some councillors than others. But are they actively saying, particularly those that maybe have been newly elected, thanks for electing me, I will now be sitting on this scrutiny committee, so I'll be particularly talking about health or children and young people. Next week, I'll be part of a discussion. So even that kind of feeding in, there's a more direct way than it could be done, which is just sort of, well, you know, all the concerns that I've been hearing over the past 12 months, I will feed them in. So there are other steps that could be taken, which would be steps in the right direction to trying to open it up and make it a more direct way to input.
And we completely acknowledge that this isn't an area that's going to set policy agenda, but then that's something, it's a bit of a mystery. It's certainly clouded in a sort of smoky mist of where does policy come from in Manchester? Maybe that's something we can delve into in further episodes.
So I've only watched that 9-minute meeting, the Environment and Climate Change Scrutiny Committee. From the meetings that you both saw, what were the any standout moments?
I've already trailed one standout moment as we were coming into the studio, so I think I should expand in more detail. This was a moment that brought a smile to my face, which is not every scrutiny committee meeting, which was at the Communities and Equalities Scrutiny Committee. That was a little bit longer than the Environment and Climate Change Scrutiny Committee, partly because there was 5 to 6 minutes which was derailed. The mics were shut off when a speaker who was sat next to the scrutiny chair knocked over a glass of water. You know, there were requests for paper towels, people scurrying around,
a good
few minutes whilst everybody else just sort of sat there looking quite awkwardly at what's happened. So for something that seemed a minor incident, it seemed to take quite a long time, but it was, you know, it was a comic, it was a moment of levity, and I quite enjoyed it because it actually brought a sort of, you know, it stopped it being too grand and intimidating. In that council chamber, it can seem kind of very, very formal. And it made it a little bit lighter. So that was a moment of high drama that I hadn't seen before.
So was that yesterday?
That was yesterday, yeah.
Because I noticed the chair's microphone today was a little bit on the blink. So it might have been related.
Yeah. So that was one highlight. But I had that was an amusing moment. But I did have another highlight, which is, we do give credit where credit's due and acknowledge things that are being done a little bit differently. And we said that this was the first set of scrutiny committees after the local elections, so there were many new councillors there, and there were quite a few new scrutiny chairs, quite a lot after this round. And one of the new scrutiny chairs, the chair of the Economy Scrutiny Committee, Marcus Johns, did actually in a very, very moderate way slightly introduce things in a different way. So rather than just beginning straight into the meetings, approve the minutes, he briefly explained the purpose of the Economy Scrutiny Committee, introduced himself, did a round of introductions for those sitting there, which was interesting, not only because you heard the councillors introduce themselves, But there were a lot of members of sort of senior council staff, so the strategic management team there, and Bev Craig. So you heard a little bit about their roles, and it just, you know, it's not that radical. I'm sure many of us in day jobs or other events have, you know, have had the going round, but it felt a bit different, and it felt like it was trying to open things out a bit. So a little gold star for that.
Little gold star.
Little gold
Craig.
Star. Yeah, not too big, but
it wouldn't be Bev Craig, would it? It'd be Marcus Johns.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Bev Craig. Gold star rescinded.
And stuck on Marcus Johns for today temporarily.
Piccadilly Ward.
Deansgate. City, but that I can see why you thought city centre, because those city centre councillors do often talk together about similar issues, transport in particular, city centre transport.
Any other standout moments?
I think a lot of it's quite procedural, isn't it? Yeah. Especially this first one. And because it's so short, there isn't really much time for potential standout moments.
The only thing I can really talk about from environment and climate change was, because it was the only thing talked about in environment and climate change, Robert Nunney, councillor for Woodhouse Park, and he talked about the climate clock, and whether, I think he framed it as saying, let's not beam it onto the side of the Beetham Tower. He didn't say that, but let's not make it huge and on the side of a building, because it will be too much of a greenwashing PR stunt. But could we have it on the website? Because the homepage currently doesn't really make it clear that we're in a climate emergency. Doesn't really do anything. So could something like the climate clock go on the website? And it was interesting to hear Tracy Rawlins, the exec member for environment, sort of agreeing that they wouldn't want to do anything that came across as a PR stunt. Heaven forbid, they've never done anything like that. But thank you very much. The website is just fine, and by the sounds of it, doesn't need to change. Whereas in reality, I mean, we've all seen the website. We know the environment resources are not exactly easily findable.
I think the website in general is a bit of a treasure trove, and you have to really rummage around to find what you want. And we found a little trick from an event we went to that you can put in site and then colons and then into Google, and then you can search a site through Google for information, which is probably far more effective than trying to use the search function of the City Council's website.
But that was the point that Councillor Rawlins said, actually, is if you search for climate emergency declaration, you will find the climate emergency declaration, because that's really how you deal with emergency declarations, isn't it? If you have to search really hard to find them.
Yeah, well, I think Councillor Rob Nunney said last year at full council, when he was first elected, he raised this point and said, you know, there was a pop-up banner that talked about COVID straight away. It was very prominent. And, you know, considering the climate emergency is not going away anytime soon, could something similar be done for the climate emergency to make it far more prominent on the council's website? I think that the response was quite similar, but probably a little bit nastier from the old leader of the council.
Don't know what you mean.
That point that Adam just made about how some emergencies seem to, you know, just justify a banner, and how certain rules and procedures can be adapted for some emergencies. I think we saw in the health scrutiny committee, which was much longer, it was an hour, and it had that same preamble, and it did have the work setting meeting behind closed doors. But then there was a sort of what's become a standing item, a sort of a COVID-19 report review, where we're up to. Not denying that is something that should be discussed, but why was a special exception made for that, and no discussion of where we're at with the climate emergency?
Because there are certain elements of climate monitoring, climate change monitoring, that are as predictable as COVID updates. we could see the quarterly reports on from the Climate Change Agency. We could see recycling quarterly updates. There's things which are going to come up repeatedly, year in, year out. So they could have front-loaded the year with those items and then done the work planning so that we actually get more than 9 minutes of scrutiny for a month. That said, I am very impressed we've spoken for so long on just 9 minutes of scrutiny. So we've said that this is the start of a new municipal year. Happy Municipal New Year.
Happy Municipal Year, New Year to you too. So is this the equivalent of our like 1st of January where we're fighting off a hangover, New Year's resolutions, party poppers? Yeah, we've just edited those out. They are here.
The committee chairs are taking suggestions for items to review over the next 12 months, but not from many people. We got some suggestions in. What are the most important things you think Manchester's got to get to grips with this year?
Well, we've put through and crowdsourced a load of different ideas on our website. We've got a post that went up today sort of to mark the end of the first scrutiny week, and those are crowdsourced ideas, some leftovers from last year, some new ones from this year. So we had a little meetup before scrutiny week to have something, and we sent chairs those recommendations as well as what we'd like to see on the agendas. I think from the environment and climate change side, you can't get away from air quality and the clean air zone and what's happening there. And again, as we said, you know, in a similar way to COVID, you could easily have an update on air quality every sort of meeting to sort of discuss that and again bring it to the forefront, as in like what we're doing in terms of the air we're breathing and the quality of that air.
Not least because that's actually under review at the moment, but we're expecting an update in the next month or so, aren't we? So
6 weeks or so.
Scrutiny may not get a chance to review that until it's already been decided at the Greater Manchester level.
Quite possibly, but there's going to be a lot of issues with implementation of some kind or another, especially if it's non-charging. And I don't know where the science behind what they're saying is, where they're saying they're just going to essentially tell people that they can get these grants to, you know, voluntarily change. I think there's, you know, that's the carrot approach at the moment. I think you have to wield the stick potentially and say that there will be changes coming in the future, or charges potentially coming in the future.
What's been learnt in the 6 months or so since that was put on pause? People listening might remember that it was January, February when this was in the news, but do we know what's different now from what was being proposed in January when there was that stop takes?
Andy Burnham has come out clearly against charges, but I don't think you can rule out charges entirely. So that might be something he has to row back on. There was also, I thought, an interesting dance going on at the time in terms of, it was like pass the parcel, no one wanting to be holding it when the music stopped. And Andy Burnham made it clear that it wasn't a Greater Manchester level decision. Put a weight of it, I think, on the national government, but also said that individual Greater Manchester councils signed it off. Now, I know from the Environment Scrutiny Committee that it came to last year, they very much felt bounced into recommending it. It was essentially put in front of them and asked for comments, recommendations, concerns, and the councillors, a few of them, said, well, there's not much we can say about this because it's been decided at a greater Manchester level. We can't really change it. So we weren't seeing the whole truth, I think, when this was being unwound in the local media.
We're not seeing people taking responsibility or leadership or ownership of it then, if the best that we're seeing is
hoping that whichever of those levels it's at, that I can't be blamed for it, or I won't get the political backlash from this. This is a scheme that needs to happen for these reasons, these pressing health reasons, and it's going to need to involve these changes, rather than this has been passed around, we were made to do this, I was made to do this.
I think you see a lot of that vacuum of willing to take political responsibility or leadership. It's being kicked around, and you see so much of that on environmental issues that no one wants to be the one that has to make the hard decision to say that we have to charge for this. The central government are saying, well, it's up to you, but then the local government are also then saying it's not up to us, it's being imposed upon us. Everyone can agree, and I think even the white van drivers and the taxi drivers that have kicked off about this because they feel like this is a threat to their livelihoods, agree they'd prefer not to breathe dirty air, because I think they'd probably be the first beneficiaries of cleaner air, having driven so much around the city in dirty air. But it's who pays for it, and I think that's the main issue with so much of this. It's who pays for these difficult decisions that haven't been made for such a long time.
So there's a real opportunity for Manchester City Council to say, this is our view, this is the way we would like to see it, even if that gets negotiated at a Greater Manchester level. And I remember when this came to Manchester scrutiny, Tracy Rawlins said, see this as a minimum, we can always go further on a Manchester level. We can go further in a Manchester way. So if we could do that, then there's nothing stopping us saying, well, this is what Manchester wants, and putting that out there.
What we've been describing is also a city council or politicians being brave enough to take some of the more unpopular actions around that they need to take, and explaining them, some of the things we've seen over the past year. It's been the easier stuff, and when we crowdsourced suggestions for the work plans, there were quite a lot of comments around youth washing or community washing, or a comment around no more people dressing up as bumblebees, which is that sort of some of that softer stuff, which has been done in quite a piecemeal fashion, but done nevertheless over the past year. So that's the easy bit.
Yeah, I'd say, like, I think something we've discussed previously is around school streets. And, you know, that was at a health scrutiny committee, and we had a whole event around that, and there was certainly agreement and between the executive member for the environment, Tracy Rawlins, and ourselves to look at this more seriously, because, again, closing streets off to traffic around pick-up and drop-off times, and making sure that that was adequately resourced, not necessarily just left up to local parents to volunteer, especially in areas that where people need to work and potentially don't have the time or resource to do that, that you can't necessarily allow the nice schools of Chorlton and Didsbury to be the only ones that implement this, because it's just further causes for social division in the city when some areas can do it and other areas can't, depending on whether they have sufficient people within the community to resource it or not. So certainly I'd like to see something more on that going forward as well.
What I want to see this year is issues that were discussed being returned to if they haven't been discussed, or what next, or we need that again, or it needs to come back. This time last year we were still in a position where there had been very few items that had been about climate and environment on the scrutiny committee agendas. We are in a slightly different position this year. We've had a number of items last year, but that's not enough. It can't be. Well, we did discuss that in January 2021, and I think issues around children and young people is quite a good example. In January, there was a dedicated item on young people and climate change. I think it was actually young people, climate change, and the education sector that came. So that's a huge sprawling area, and 45 minutes of discussion on that as a starting point isn't the end at all. There needs to be many more issues that return to. So some of the suggestions we included was school streets as a standalone item, mental health in young people as a standalone item, not a short bullet point in a report that's too sweeping. And I think we can say that with lots of the committees, it isn't enough for once a year or once every few years for an item to be discussed. You need to ask for it to come back. You need to return to it. If it isn't good enough, it shouldn't just be a rubber stamping operation.
If that's the case, then it needs to be integrated into work plans of the council far more effectively than what it has done in the past. You know, every officer should have far more understanding of how these things can be integrated into the work that they do on a day-to-day basis, so that when these things can be talked about at scrutiny, because it's sort of the end point of the work that's already been done there. So hopefully, yeah, these issues of the past year may have hopefully then triggered conversations internally so that there are the work plans that can now be brought forward. Who knows? We'll find out. But certainly you can do that from now on anyway.
That sort of links into one of the things I want to see, which is probably one of the things we've seen most frequently in the last year, 18 months, which is those quarterly updates from the agency. Are they quarterly?
I think they're from the council. They're more about the council's action plan than the agency.
Yeah, but it's the agency have come in at least twice, if not three or four times.
Feels like someone coming into your school assembly, though, and, you know, giving a talk and knowing they'll be back soon.
Yeah, and there's been a sense when it comes to the agency, but also reporting from common metrics from officers, that the reports that are put in front of councillors, they've commented time and time again that it's still not quite in the right format. They're not getting enough information. They're not getting it in a way that is measurable to see trending information. It tends to come in a form of bullet points of great things we've done, consultations here, presentations there, bid applications, grant funding, events we've put on. But it's just a sort of stream of consciousness of, haven't we been busy? Rather than to be able to say, I can clearly see the trend from 2019, 2020, 2021, but even starting now, the trend from here to where we want to be at 2038, when we're apparently going to be zero carbon.
Maybe that's something we can look at over this whole scrutiny year, when things get far too down in the details and into the weeds, and scrutiny committees aren't really there for councillors to raise issues of specific residents about a specific issue on a specific street. It needs to be far more strategic. It needs to be far more holistic. It needs to look long term, not just into what a specific thing might have happened or an incident. And that's maybe something that could be done far more effectively in scrutiny. I think that's up to the chairs in terms of how they want to chair those sessions, to make sure that things are kept at a fairly high level, rather than at the detailed levels of streams of consciousness or of specific issues about bins in a specific area.
Mm. And when I see that, it suggests to me a slightly dysfunctional relationship between the backbench ward councillors and other bits of the council, if they think that's the space in which to pass on concerns of individual residents. It comes back to your point that we've been trying to get our heads around about how about information flows and about how policy is made. If a backbench councillor feels that a scrutiny committee is where they need to kind of relay the concerns of their particular ward on a real micro level, of course you would talk about an example from your ward. What else isn't functioning where they feel that that's the space that they have to say that?
The sun is setting, has set. It's getting late. That's possibly it for May Scrutiny Week?
I think so. It's always a bit of a different one. It's a bit of a taster. I think for listeners who are interested in this, probably look at the work plans that are going when they do get published, rather than some of the more procedural overviews that we've said. I think you'll get more of a sense there. One final note to add about the work plans: they're not all in identical format, but they're not set in stone in terms of that's definitely when things are going to come up, and it's quite possible that an issue could not get raised in a work plan, but with a bit of pressure making it clear that a topic is on the work plan and feeding that back to the councillors, it perhaps has more chance of getting there. So just because it's on the work plan doesn't mean it's going to get discussed, and you could play a bit of a role in increasing the chances of it. And when you do see the issues raised, they're of course going to be quite broad. Again, talking to councillors, particularly if your ward councillors sit on that committee, and say, yes, underneath this broad area, could this issue come beneath it? So they are a bit of a document that we should try and work with and encourage others to work with.
Yeah, and you can find that on the council's website if you go to democracy.manchester.gov.uk. So that's the best place to find all your democratic needs in terms of agendas and work plans and all the rest of it.
But if you're far too busy to do any of that, you can listen to this podcast, or you can look at climateemergencymanchester.net,
which will serve some of your democratic needs.
We certainly do our best. So that's it for May Scrutiny Week. We'd love to know what you think on the podcast and on the council. You can even join us on a future episode with a guest spot on Team Scrutiny. Visit climateemergencymanchester.net to find out more. Next month we'll have a couple of new members of SEM talking summer, scandals and scrutiny. Until then, see you, Manchester.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What are the scandals? Do you know something that I don't know?
There's always going to be a scandal, surely.
It's summer scandal season. That's too much sibilance. Someone might be listening in now specifically for scandal, so we better offer one. dear podcast, I tuned in for scandal. And this was scandal light. There'll be a scandal.